Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. It's an international week, which means we have a very odd upload schedule, so you're probably listening to this on a Saturday. Hey, how's your weekend going? I'll be your host today. I'm Liam, but you may know me better as LDG. In today's episode, since we're almost halfway through the NWSL season, 11 games in, I'll be talking about six underrated players from the NWSL season you need to be keeping your eye on. So without further ado, let's get right into it. As Lynn Williams wisely said on this week's edition of the Women's Game, the goal scorers are usually the ones that get all the credit. In today's episode, we tried to highlight players who aren't necessarily scoring the goals, but people who are creators, people that are more of a team player. So we chose all six of our players from teams that are in the top three of the table, so Orlando, Kansas City, and Washington. And these are players that have helped orchestrate their sides and allowed them to really play the fun, entertaining football that we've loved watching. So I chose three players from Orlando, two from Kansas City, and one from Washington, so you just have to keep on listening to find out who I chose. Starting with the top of the table in the Orlando Pride, I chose a player who isn't always getting on the goal scoring sheet per se, but a left back who at only 24 years old has just showed her immense versatility and creativity going off the pitch. Of course, I'm talking about Carrie Abello. Carrie Abello is one of the best players in the league right now going up the field. Orlando has really utilized her in that rebuild, and she's someone who they really got their money worth out of, per se. The 24th pick in the 2021 NWSL draft, the former Penn State fullback has thrived in the NWSL environment. Even if she's not getting forward in the capacity that she would have if she's playing in the left wing role, which she's previously played in her career, she is so creative on the ball, and I think that's due to the fact that she can play in the midfield centrally. But I've loved watching her evolution as a defender. Even if she's not the best pure defender per se, her ability getting up the field has been so instrumental for the Pride team this year. Abello is always that player who starts the attack and never really gets the recognition deserved. She only has one assist on the year per se on that goal that Marta scored against Utah, but even if she doesn't necessarily get noted in the scorebook, she's someone who's creating so much for her side. She's always getting in the right area at the right time. She's really good at picking and choosing when to go up the field. Her crossing hasn't been great this year, but what she has been doing so well is she always makes the right pass in those areas. She loves making the diagonal pass to the center of the pitch, and of players like Summer Yates, Angelina, two of whom we'll be talking about a little bit later, along with Marta, it's just such an easy way for Abello to get to great players, and that's taking nothing away from her, but it's because she has such great players around her that she's able to do so much. She loves taking shots. She's very confident getting up the field, which I love. She loves taking on defenders. She's in the 95th percentile for both progressive carries and successful take-ons. So she's not just risky with beating defenders off the dribble. She's very good at it as well, which is something I find very, very impressive, considering that this is comparing all fullbacks in the top nine leagues in the world. Abello is one of those players on the Pride who has really been through this team through all different parts of their career. Even though she's just a young player, she was drafted to the Pride and she's played a few seasons with them. And it's even since 2022, when the Pride didn't play great, she played a decent amount of minutes on that team. She played over 1,000 minutes in her rookie year, and she's been a part of this team, the evolution that the Pride have witnessed, and it's really fun to get to see a player who's stuck through the troubles, per se, and really kept on pushing and found herself in an instrumental role. Abello's best attribute is her not just her ability to get forward, but her ability to track back and win defensively. I think one problem we often see with players getting up the field is they never are able to track back, but for such an attacking-minded fullback, to be in the 78th percentile for tackles completed is a really good statistic for Abello to have. She's someone who knows when to go up the field, and she always makes the right choice, something that is really impressive. And considering that the fullback role is some place where the U.S. isn't as deep, it's one of their weaker positions, I'd love to see Abello come in with Nyes Wonger for that role and try and compete for it, because I think she has all the attributes to do so. I think she's the most complete fullback in the league in that younger age pool. I love Nyes Wonger, who's, I think, better getting up the field, but Abello is a little bit more instrumental, and I feel like makes the right pass a few more times than Nyes Wonger does. So just not to take some away from either of the two of them because they're both incredible. I just think that Abella is someone who also deserves her shout. And considering that, like Nyjah Wonger, she was kind of an attacker converted to a fullback, she's just, in my personal opinion, transitioned a little bit more seamlessly. And her just ability to get into the goal area and create chances is what has made this Pride team so fun to watch, along with a few other players that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But overall, Abella, great player, and I think she's more than deserving of the USA call-up, which she should be receiving soon. Barbara Banda may be the one who takes the headlines for the signing of the season, but Haley Carter made many other smart moves, such as bringing Angelina in. Angelina, the 24-year-old attacking midfielder out of Brazil, has gone across the country after tearing her ACL last year. She, I guess, needed a fresh restart to kickstart her chances back onto the Brazilian national team, but also into first-team football at the club level. It was not certain that she was going to stay in the NWSL, so I'm so happy that a player of her talent was able to find a spot here. And I mean, she would have found one in Europe as well, definitely, but it's so great to have these players stateside, and it's really showing how she's made such an impact on this Pride team. She continues creating chances, she keeps on making amazing passes to set her teammates up who weren't finishing them before Marta got back on the pitch, and also Banda. So we haven't seen that Angelina Banda link up yet, unfortunately, but that is something I'm really going to be looking out for. I can't wait to see more of that. My favorite part about Angelina, per se, is how she's always so good at just creating for her teammates. She always can find the right pass. She is always a player who can get her teammates picked out from whatever run they're making. And I think the thing that was really interesting about her going into this year, she was always on the stacked Seattle Reign side that had players like Lavelle, Rapinoe, and so many other amazing attackers, and even good midfielders like Fishlock and Little. So she played under some amazing players, even though she was injured when Little was there. She still got so much experience under some of the world's best footballers, male or female. And so it's really interesting to see how she's taken attributes of other players' games and really incorporated them into her own. She's has this playing style very similar to the Spanish tiki-taka style that we loved watching at the Women's World Cup last summer. And I think it's a style that has really suited her, not only her, but her Orlando Pride teammates. She has forwards that are incredibly fast, but not just Banda. There's Julie Doyle, Ali Watt, Adriana. There's so many different weapons that this Orlando Pride team has on the front line to finish besides Banda. And they need creators who can pick them out. And obviously Marta is amazing, but Marta's not going to be there forever. And to have her heir, so to say, at both club and national team level be quote-unquote balling out, as I saw one person comment on one of these episodes, is amazing to see, because Angelina is someone who has really grown over the years. She came into the NWSL and really was a creative young player, but now she's taking her mark on a team. She's creating this new project and leading this Orlando Pride rebuild, where we shouldn't even be calling it a rebuild anymore because this is a title-contending team, and she's one of the many reasons for that. So now I wanted to move into my last player for the Orlando Pride. I went from a college draftee to an international player, and now I want to go back to, another college draftee. I chose Summer Yates. Yates is a player who I actually did a mock draft episode in her draft class year. I had her going top 10. I love watching college soccer. It's like a little, I guess, weird hobby of mine. But I really loved watching her in college. She was so, so fun to watch on the ball. Really, really talented. And then she fell really, really late in the draft, which I was kind of confused about. And I guess she just didn't get that many minutes the last few years. But if you look at how she's done this season, with the minutes she's gotten, she's been amazing. 3 goals this season already. She's in the 97th percentile in it for attacking midfielders and shot creating actions, 90th percentile for tackles. And this really just shows you why I like her so much, because she's an attacking midfielder who's so brave, tenacious, getting up the field. She's always in the right spot to finish to the net, but she's also a good creator. She always has her teammates in mind, but she's not afraid to go for it herself, just like another attacking midfielder we'll be talking about from the Washington Spirit a few minutes later. You already know who that is, clearly. But anyway, let's continue with Yates, because she's someone who I think has really been undervalued in the league. And there's always so much talent in the NWSL that goes, I guess, not wasted, but doesn't get the appreciation it deserves originally. And that's what happens a lot of the time. These are very deep rosters, and it's not just about the one-star player. It's not just about Banda, and that's taking nothing away from her. But it's a whole team, and that's why a team wins. If you look at the Portland title teams, they had Crystal down on the bench. If you look at Gotham's title team, we had immense depth. There's a reason why teams win titles. It's not just because of one player. And Yates is going to be that reason, I think, if Orlando ends up winning the title later this year, because she is so fun to watch, she's so creative. I said tenacious already, but I feel like everything she does with a level of maturity and class that isn't replicable or teachable. And I think I've loved how Seb Hines has just let her be herself in the field and flow free and be creative and do what she wants to do on the ball and really take on defenders, be aggressive, be that player who can create for her teammates. And in a team with so many amazing players like Marta, that takes a lot of guts, you know, to really own it and put your stamp on the team and say, this is how I play. I'm not going to take that away. And I love that from Summer Yates. And I think she's been a player who has not had the quickest transition to the pros in minutes necessarily, having taken another year to adjust to the league after not getting many minutes last season at all. But I've really loved how she's already made such a big impact on this new season, and I think she's going to just continue getting better and better, and hopefully she'll be able to start getting more goals in front of the net and more assists. So that's all for the Pride. I now want to move on to the Kansas City Current and to incredible midfielders that they have there. One of whom is Claire Hutton, the U18 prospect, came into this side where they were really going through a rebuild year. They made the championship game in the 2022 season, were the worst, one of the worst teams in the league last year, not the worst, second worst. But I think what's so incredible about Hutton's game is the level of maturity and composure that she possesses for such a young player. She's really came into the side and been such a key asset for this team. She reminds me a lot of what Desiree Scott does. I think a reason why she's been so good for this team is because of how she really is just that ball winning six that they were missing last year. I don't disagree with the fact that Luera is one of the best sixes in the league, but she's more of a possession based player. She's not the most aggressive per se in the way that Hutton is. Hutton is a tackler. She is someone who will beat you down, essentially. If you're any attacking midfielder, she stops the progression of play. One thing I think that's been a fun asset to her game that we didn't really get to see at the beginning is she's become more confident in the attack. I love to see her ball into the box on that Elizabeth Ball goal last weekend, at least from when I'm recording this, against the Royals. So I think it really just shows you how good Hutton is, not just in the defensive spaces, but getting upfield and losing Alex Lira. That is a big pair of shoes you have to replace. And that's not something that you can really expect a teenager to do, but she's done that, and she's done more. I love Luera. She's done a good job before she got injured on the Bay FC side, but she wasn't working for the Current. The Current had so many great players last season, but they weren't functioning well together. And in this rebuild, players like Chemba Tavinga and Bia Zanarata will deservedly get their flowers, but it's important to acknowledge the player who makes the pass before the pass, if that makes sense, to make that play that will cause the play that everyone will focus on. And I think that's something really important. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, how the attackers are always the ones who will get the most attention, but it's not just about them. A team needs 11 players on the pitch who can all contribute behind the ball and in front of the ball. And what I've loved seeing with her is, as an 18-year-old, she's very, very good at both. I loved how she is so good at not just like her passing. She's risky with her passing. She creates a lot of passes per game. She has almost 40 passes a match, which is very, very impressive. And I think that shows how she's very confident, loves to be on the ball. I sat at the Gotham game against the Current near the pitch, and I was able to see her ability on the ball just so clearly. She loves controlling tempo, loves controlling the build up, and I think that's why she's such a special player. Okay, so our next player I wanted to talk about was Bailey Feist. Bailey Feist is a veteran who's played all throughout the league. She didn't really get the chance she deserved last season, in my humble opinion, with the Spirit due to the fact that she was not the first choice in her role. Now with Kansas City, though, in this rebuild, she joins as a free agent, as someone who's just allowed to be herself. She's more free-flowing. She's getting on up the pitch, on the ball more. She's only played 6 matches, but in the matches that she's played, which have all been recently, in the recent, I guess, stretch of games, per se, I've really liked watching her and how good she's been, even their 3 recent draws, which they've endured, which they're not going to be very, very happy about. She's great. I loved watching Feist play, even if the sample size we've gotten from her is quite small. Yes, I will admit that. I do love seeing her on the ball. She's a great player with her first touch, but she's also good at, like, creating in front of net, which I think is so impressive. She's a box-to-box 8 who's good in possession. She can get up the field, and I think that's something I've been really impressed with her about. Feist is someone who isn't just going to get on the ball every single day. She's someone who will take some shots. She can get the ball up the pitch, and she can get touches in that opponent's attacking third area. She's good in the air. She's very good at just doing both things. She's that player who's, again, to go with the same thematic idea that we've been focusing on of the players who don't get their flowers, she's someone who doesn't get her flowers, but she deserves them because of how she's that player who can step in whenever her team needs her. She loves getting up the field. She loves being defensive. She's great at that. I love seeing her tackling abilities. And overall, I've just really enjoyed her as a player this season, getting more of a chance to actually play in games, unlike where last season she was just relegated to a complete observer off the bench, if I have to be frank, because there's, again, so much talent in this league, which is why this episode's so fun. And Feist is one of those veteran players who I've loved to see finally get her break with the current. And last, but definitely, definitely not least, perhaps even the best, Coy Bethune. Bethune is not someone who's underrated per se, because she is deservingly so getting the praise that she merits based on her performances. But she is that girl right now. She is crushing it. Even just looking at her stats, obviously, you can see, like, the 97th percentile and, like, assists for all attacking midfielders, which is great. But aside from the numbers and the stats, just watching her play, she's majestic on the ball. She has a left foot and a right foot of gold. She is just that person who never makes mistakes. Again, these rookies this season are really just crushing it. I've loved watching her play that attacking midfield role. The creativity that she's enabled to have in the Spirit side is amazing. She's been better than Ashley Sanchez. I think I have to say it because Sanchez struggled under the Spirit system, where she is clearly not doing so. So even though this is a rebuilding season for the Spirit, obviously they brought in some rookies like Bethune and Hirschfeld who have been better than maybe not Staub, but definitely Sanchez. And Staub was replaced by Kruger. And now they can add other international players like Lacey Santos and Esme Morgan, who hasn't been signed officially yet, but BBC journalists believe it's soon. So my point is the supporting cast around Croy is going to be even better. The only concern I have is how are Lacey and Croy going to play together? They're both box-to-box midfielders who can do the tracking back, per se. They both have that ability, but in the end, they're both best at the 10, and you can't have 2 10s on the pitch at the same time, which is something that is concerning, but I guess that's a good problem to have, having too much talent. Bethune is getting her first call up to the national team, but at a training player level, so she won't actually be playing in any of the games, but she getting that experience at the national team level, which I talked about in my episode 64, which you should listen to right now if you're listening to this before the game. Anyway, so Bethune is someone who really is not just that creative player, but she can do it herself. I love watching how she's so good at both feet. She's a crafty player. She owns it as well. I love how she's just a star. She's not afraid of the spotlight. She loves it. I was also, like, really, really cool. Like, I'm taking fashion tips off the field from her because I don't know if I can own that my fashion like she can, but she overall, my point is her confidence off the field is really shown on the field. And I just love watching her play. She's a delight to watch, even though it was not fun traveling to DC and seeing her score that amazing goal against us. Just seeing how great she is, not just against weaker teams, but to go against Gotham, who are the reigning champions, and just completely bully their midfield was really funny to watch from a neutral standpoint. Obviously, it hurt from a Gotham standpoint. Bethune is a rising star, and I think even though she endured a lot of the ACL injuries in college, which is why there's a lot of question marks and whether she'd be able to sustain her talent that was clear at the pro level, I think she's answered those so far. We can't put too much pressure on a young player to succeed. She has a good supporting cast around her, but she is someone who deserves to be in the spotlight, and I can't wait to see her get that more. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, and I am signing off, hoping you have an amazing weekend and be back with us on Monday and Thursday. Don't worry, it's not International Week next week, so I'll get the schedule right. Anyway, thank you again, and be sure to tune in for Tuesday's episode on the USL Super League. Peace out from your host, LDG. Bye. See you next time.